The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Dreams. I've had enough of these annoying and distracting schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strong Rider on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along. My mind's made up. My mind's made up. My mind's made up. My mind's made up.
Hey, my mind's made up to keep my head positive and to keep associating with those who are walking in the same direction as I am, the positive path. Welcome to the show. My name is Dean Olson, and you are listening to Strong Rider on the radio, helping songwriters stay musically fit, learning from the best in the business, and passing it along to you, because that is the way I like to conduct my show. I'm back with J.D. Miller. He's the guy I talked to. We were talking about writing jingles. He's an orchestrator. He's a composer, arranger, a songwriter, a jingle writer. He performs. I'll tell you what. When a mutual friend, Beth Johnson of the Johnson Family Quartet, fantastic lady. She was nice enough to introduce me to you. And I think you all were out in my neck of the woods, out in California, about an hour from me, out doing some talking the word. I think.
Yeah. We got to do some concerts and also do some lead some worship at some of the churches here on Sunday morning and Sunday night.
I really wish I was really contemplating bringing my wife out to come out and meet you in person, but we just couldn't do it. You mind tell me what we missed? What do you do when you show up to do like a public speaking or a concert or whatever? What goes on here?
Well, I got in on Tuesday. I'll just give you a rundown of the week and just kind of give you an idea.
Yes, sir.
First of all, let me say thanks to Beth Johnson and the Johnson Family Quartet for partnering with me and inviting me to come out and do things with them in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we got introduced by a couple of guys originally from California here for a while called the Good Twins. And
okay.
We traveled together back in the 70s in an organization called Revival of Fires. It was a national TV program. So we did concerts together and so forth. And anyway, long story short, the Good Twins met the Johnson family a few years ago, and they were looking for a record producer, and the Good Twins recommended me. And we met, and since then we've gotten to minister in China and India and Oklahoma and even here in California and Kentucky. And it just seems like we have a great chemistry together. They're so sweet and real. And anyway, I want to thank Beth for inviting me to do that.
But yeah.
Tuesday I got in. Wednesday morning I got to speak for the Women's Fellowship here on the mountain near Twin Peaks. And
okay.
So I spoke at a women's brunch. That's always fun. You know,
yeah.
200 women, one guy.
Outnumbered a bit. Yeah.
No. But I share music, and we do we have request time, and I did pretty good until they asked me to play a Taylor Swift song. You know, I'm 60 years old, so I'm not as tuned into Taylor as I guess I should have been, but we had a lot of fun, and then I just kind of share some ministry experiences. I told them about a trip we did to Honduras, and there were 180,000 refugees there, and we flew 8 doctors and 6 nurses down and did a free clinic.
Wow.
I told them about some of those experiences and just appealed to the compassion of a mother's heart.
How did you get that going? Did you who was the group of people or the organization that helps you do that? Because you can't do that alone.
Honduras?
Yeah, the Honduras where you flew out all the doctors and.
Well,
yeah.
when I was in junior high school, there was a guy named Ken Henderson that had a ministry called Teen Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did, basically, they took teenagers to on the mission field and put them to work for a week or so. And they're still doing it today, 40 years later.
Wow.
Ken just retired, but Ken called me, and he said, listen, there's been a, I can't remember, yeah, I think it was a hurricane that came to and just destroyed one area of Honduras. And of course, it's already a third world country.
Sure.
And he said, we got people, 180,000 people that are living in tents and living off the ground, and there's all kinds of medical needs. Would you be willing to help me put together a team of medical professionals to go? I said, he asked me first if I would do concerts to raise money for so these doctors could go. The long story short, we did concerts, and then we took these doctors down. And that's kind of how that happened.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I've been back to Honduras 7 times since then. There's so much I wish we could talk about.
It takes up all your year, right? Your calendar is just filled with this stuff.
Yeah, it does.
And you've been to other countries, Russia, you've been to the continent of Africa, you've been to Jamaica, China, India. I'm reading this off your thing. That's a lot of, that's a lot to do.
Yeah. I mean, God just, God's a big God. And if mm-hmm. he finds you, you're willing to work, and allow him to do the leading and you do the following, he can take you anywhere in the world he wants you to go.
Yeah.
And, I had, because of some of the awards we had been blessed to win, I was invited to go to China and do cultural exchange concerts representing, music from the United States. And then we would include the traditional musicians from China in our concerts. And so I've been back to China 5 times as the guest of the communist government.
Wow.
God can do those kind of things.
Yes.
And God is opening, he loves Chinese just as much as he loves Americans, and Hondurans and Indians. God's a global God.
Uh-huh.
And he's allowed us to meet with some of the highest officials in China and introduce them to Jesus, to what we know of Jesus Christ. And there's a genuine interest on all levels there in China in what Christianity is really about. And until about 500 years ago, China was a Christian nation. The early apostles and disciples brought Christianity down the Silk Road to ancient China.
Oh,
and a lot of people don't know that, but their heritage is Christian.
We forget these things in history.
Well, I've learned a lot since getting to go there.
But anyway,
we did that on Wednesday, getting back to your original question.
Sure.
I tried to chase your head down that rabbit hole there.
That's all right.
But we did concerts together, John's family and I, at churches on Friday and Saturday night. Sunday morning, the Church of the Woods here in on the mountain invited me to be their worship leader.
Oh.
And we did 2 services there. Sunday night, Lee Johnson and I did another concert down in the valley. I did recording sessions 2 days this week. As a matter of fact, today, right now, we're doing a recording session with a friend of mine, Robert Hollywood. So that's kind of what we've been doing. I get to go home tomorrow, see Mama, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's wonderful. And home is where now?
Versailles, Kentucky. It's about 8 miles from Lexington. So we're right in central Kentucky. It's really the global capital for thoroughbred horses. It's known for the racehorses they breed there.
Oh, yeah, beautiful horses too. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, I just feel very. I'm excited that you took some time because I took a look at your schedule. I don't know how you did it, but just being out here in California, it seems like you're not getting any rest.
Well, at my age, you have to take care of yourself.
But, yes, you do.
and I learned years ago that if you're going to be on the road and travel, you got to stay in shape because it's not for sissies. I don't know how Bill does. I mean, Bill Gaither, he's in his late 70s,
uh-huh.
and he's still doing it. And I met with him a couple of months ago, and I was asking. He's got a defibrillator now, and all that, and he just keeps burning. I think God extends your life. I know He did that for Moses.
Yes.
And for some other ministers I know who are in their 80s, like Reggie Thomas, who's the head of Whitefield's Evangelism, he still travels 300 days a year.
Oh, gosh.
And goes all over the world, Philippines, India. I don't know how he does it. He's in his 80s.
Well, let's look at Billy Graham, how he's gone all this time. And, I don't know if his days are numbered now on this earth. He's been a little bit, he still keeps a rock solid faith. But even it looks like he's winding down his time here on Earth. But that's a long time to go, you know.
He's definitely earned his right to go home and get his reward.
He sure did.
I say that. I mean, there's a perfect example of how God, I think, extends your life in return for providing good service.
Yeah. Well, one thing we were talking about the last when we last were visiting was all this jingle writing that you did, and it's really impressive because, you know, not only have you you know, you kept cranking them out, so to speak, and then you've also you've gotten a lot of accolades or awards, and that's kind of nice. I mean, it's nice to put in your office, put on your mantle, put in the garage, maybe. I don't know.
it is, but you know, I learned something. Yeah, award. You don't go do stuff to get an award. If you do good work, sometimes the rewards follow. And most of the time, when we won awards in the advertising field, especially, we were accepting those, and we would take our clients to the award shows and have them go up and get the award. You know, because we did the work for them. And so, to me, that's what the awards were about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, your humility probably is something that that's a key to a success, and you just don't. You don't take it for granted what you do, I'm sure.
Well, I think there's at some point in your life, if you live long enough, you realize that no man's an island and nobody does anything by themselves.
I had to learn that the hard way.
There has to be a higher purpose than what do I get out of it, you know?
Right. So some of the jingles we talked about, you did some spots for Chevron, for McDonald's, for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then we talked about something that's very popular right now is the nationwide campaign. Nationwide is on your side. I was curious about, you wrote this in the 70s? You were there to take care of this? You penned the whole thing, or what?
Yeah, we produced Nationwide is on Your Side with, you know, for the company in Columbus, Ohio, back in the early 70s. And they were, at that time, it was just a regional company. And, of course, they grew, and they maintained the same slogan and the same musical jingle. They did revisions of it through the years, but they owned it, you know, lock, stock, and barrel the first time we did it. So it's been theirs. People ask me all the time, do you still get money from that? No, I don't. But that's okay. You know, at the time when they purchased it, they paid their fair share.
Yeah, that's...
And with Peyton doing it now, I'm getting a lot of recognition, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. Now, you know, Barry Manilow had written a State Farm thing with another gentleman, I think.
Right.
And they,
I know that
and
guy.
That, and
yeah.
That, oh, go ahead. Say that.
No, I know the gentleman that worked with Barry
for
years, and he's a wonderful composer.
Yeah, I was just thinking thinking that about your jingle Nationwide, because the State Farm one is going on to this day, and they're still playing the sting that you hear. Dun, da, 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 da,
like,
you know?
A good neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. even though you're not hearing, I mean right now they're doing the little the comedy thing where which is pretty much in vogue now for all the insurance companies to do comedy spots.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
they have some wild thing where, you know, it's like summoning up a genie, you know, like, go get your State Farm agent. They shout out the jingle.
Yeah,
So there they are. They're saying the actual words of the jingle. And I thought that was pretty good. And that's been going on for years. I forget when that was that also penned in the early 70s? You think
it was?
Yeah,
I remember when that was done. But I tell you why that works. At least my opinion. How did you learn your ABCs?
Through repetition and learning the song. Yeah.
Yeah, a little song that went A B, right? And what I've learned, and this is a very biblical principle. I mean, I really believe this with all my heart, is that God designed our brains to absorb information through music better than any other way, and I've heard people say, and I've even heard it in songs that the angels sang, but as I've studied the word, I've never found one note that the angel, where it says the angels sang anything. Actually, music was a gift that God gave to man as a gift to give back to him. And remember when they built the tabernacle, God even gave them the words to the song to sing there in the wilderness. And when they were singing it, all of a sudden God interrupted it. It came into the Holy of Holies. And it says that for 4 hours, everyone, that's 1.2 million Jews out here in the desert, fell on their faces and not a sound was made.
Wow.
But he inhabited the praise of the people singing. And I believe that music and your spirit are totally connected, and that's a God thing. And I think that's why jingles work so well, personally.
What a wonderful thing to say. That's why I shut up during it. I thought that was great.
No, man.
No, that's really
it's
good.
It's great to talk to you. I really appreciate your time. And,
yeah.
You said something about being humble.
Yeah.
I think it's all perspective. If you know who you are in relationship to who God is, I don't know how we can possibly be proud. If you know the real me and you know all the flaws and the shortcomings and failures, I don't want to put myself on a pedestal. I want to glorify God because He's perfect and He's given me everything I've got. And so to me, that's my perspective on it. I appreciate all God's given me, including, the notoriety. And I just hope that I use that to His glory. And that is my honest, sincere goal.
Well, I believe you are, because look what you're doing already with the trip to Honduras, as you were talking about. I mean, that alone. I mean, did you have this passion to do something like this through, like, say, your father, the minister, or did you come to? Was it more of a roundabout way that now that you've made a career in your music, you could take your gift and share it with the rest of the world?
Well, there was a time in my life when I really kind of divorced myself from my father's faith.
Sure, that happens, huh?
I think a lot of young people have to rebel. I don't know what that is about us, but
yeah.
Jesus even talked about about it and gave examples of it. But my faith had to be real and had to be mine. And so the Lord and my dad allowed me to go on my own journey. And so the outcome of that is that every fiber of my being has to believe in it. And therefore, every fiber of my being can be dedicated to it. And it became my passion, not my dad's passion, or not someone else's.
So you claimed it for your own.
That now. We share a passion for the gospel and having people benefit from the promises of the word.
Wonderful. Well, we're almost done here. I mean, if I had the choice, we'd be talking for some more, but that's not fair to you. You got some more recording sessions to do.
The artist I'm working with today, he's happy to be patient. So, whenever you've had enough, you tell me.
But anything.
I sincerely appreciate what you're doing. I really do. And
oh, thank
you.
If
I can support in any way, let me know. Okay.
Well, anything you can talk about what you did today, or is it kind of confidential what you're up to now?
No. I'm working with a fellow that I met recently. His name is Robert Hollywood, and he's been an entertainer for many, many years. He's been dead on the operating table twice. He's got quite a testimony himself. But we met through a business that I recently got involved in called Paid to Save. And it's a coupon app from a company that it's a new thing that they're distributing here in California, Murrieta, California.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of a deal where you give away the app free. And when people use the app, you make a little bit of money, when they use it kind of thing. I got involved in it because a missionary friend of mine is involved in it. And by being involved in this, I support her mission work. And I've gotten some other friends of mine to support it the same way. And it costs nothing to do it, to give away the app. It's totally free. So, it's not like we're building, trying to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
If you go to Paid to Save and download the app, you can use it anywhere you want to, and it's free. And when you use it, people make money. But anyway, Mr. Hollywood's part of that. We met through that, and in the process of getting to know each other, he wanted to be involved more in ministry. And I said, to do that, a product would be good for you. So we're working on his first recording in many, many years.
I love that technology, like you were talking about the app and everything. Like, what do you think of what's changed over the years? Has it helped you? That's just a tool, I know, but...
Well, yeah, I got on the airplane on Tuesday and I brought everything I needed to be able to record somebody. We're recording in the Johnson's house. And years ago when I first got in, I worked with Chet Atkins in Nashville.
Oh, I love
17.
Chet. Yeah.
And there were not many recording studios in the world, but RCA, the studio there, cost millions of dollars just to build. And now I can put it in my suitcase. So I love the technology.
That is wonderful, yeah. So how did you start out when, what kind of equipment were you using when you first started doing this over, I guess, 30 years?
Track.
Oh, yeah?
I was working for Roger Miller. I don't know if you remember him or not.
Yeah, King of the Road.
King of the Road, that's the guy, yeah. I was playing piano and and he introduced me to Chet so I could make extra money when we were on the road. And I started getting to play on demos with people like Jerry Reed and Glenn Campbell and Roy Clark and guys who now are legends and, who's heard of me? But I got to play with these amazing players. And what we would do, we would, when Dolly Parton or Willie Nelson or somebody that was on, Chet was the president of RCA Records back then.
Okay.
And when they would write a song, they would record it on a cassette or a reel to reel they would have at their house back then. And they'd bring it in. We'd listen to the songs that Chet wanted to record that day, and we'd all write what we called number charts, you know, kind of an arrangement. And then Chet would talk through it, and he'd say, now I want you to take the lead on the second verse, and the fiddle take it on, you know, kind of thing. And we just do hit arrangements. And we would do 10 songs by noon. We'd start at 8, and if you messed up, everybody had to do it over because it was only 2 tracks.
Yeah.
But there was a third track for the singer who could come in whenever they wanted, you know, and they could punch in and fix their mistakes. If you were a player, you couldn't make mistakes.
No.
They'd find somebody else, you know. So we started with 3 track, and I remember when 4 track came in. And then I remember 8 track, then 16 track, then 2-inch tape with 24 tracks.
Sure.
Remember when we first time we synced 2 24 tracks to get 46 tracks?
Uh-huh.
And then digital came in and the tape machines went away. It changed a lot.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that. It's so weird to watch it. It's same way with the way you consume your music. You know, you used to have these giant stereos that were pieces of furniture, you know, because you remember that.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a big console, and then I had myself a little record player, radio combination, and with a tape deck, and then they down to boom boxes. Now I have a little tiny Apple iPod that I clip to my collar as I'm working around. I got all this stuff that I can listen to. It's just amazing what we're doing today. So
yeah, it really is.
What about Chet Atkins? What kind of man was he? Was he a perfectionist, or was he kind of a quiet guy? What kind of man was he when you were working with him?
In a word, gentle.
Okay,
he was a gentle guy. He did demand a high quality performance. And I remember the first time I walked in to play for him, and I played. He said, well, sit down, let me hear something. Roger says you're pretty good. So, you know, I just played through some piece, and I played every note I could play, you know. He said, that's all good. That probably works good for church. But he says, in here, he says, I've got a drummer, so I don't need you to play rhythm. He says, I've got a bass player, so I don't need you to play bass.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I've got a rhythm guitar player, so I don't need you to play chords. He says, I'll tell you what, do. He says, you sit there, and when I look at you, you play something.
Beautiful.
So the rest of the time, just put your hands in your back pocket. He's really direct that way.
Yeah.
But everybody loved Chet, and I do.
And he could play. He's a hero of mine. I loved him. He was great.
Yeah. If he couldn't say it with it, you know, through language, he'd just pick up his guitar and say, "Here, it's like this." And he was just an amazing player.
You talk about how he wanted almost a perfect performance. Was Elvis working for RCA at the time, or was he? I mean, was he with the label when Chet was there?
Well, this was 1972,
okay.
And Elvis was no longer with RCA. I think he was recording in Vegas by those with a guy named Bill Porter.
Uh-huh.
At that point, he was recording in California and Las Vegas, as I recall. But everybody that I met in the early 70s claimed to have done something with Elvis Presley. And even gospel musicians like J.D. Sumner and the Stamps and the Oak Ridge Boys and the Gatlins, and they all backed him up. I think the Imperials backed him up at one time. And,
oh, yeah.
So that was the big claim to fame in the early 70s was we sang with Elvis.
Oh, yeah. And you take it to your grave because that's a mm-hmm. feather in your cap that you don't ever ignore.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Elvis fan when I was a kid, but as years have gone by, and I've learned more and more about the guy,
uh-huh.
I'm an admirer now, and he was a good recording artist, he really was. I think I was jealous of him because he was so good looking and all the women liked him, you know?
Yeah, of course, that's the way it was, huh?
Yeah, but I have a lot more respect for Elvis than I did.
I guess I just had that question because, you know, you had Chet and Elvis, you know, two forces that demanded, you know, peak performance mm-hmm. in their recordings and everything like that. So,
yeah
that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yep. I know they had a good chemistry.
Okay. Well, you still working today doing any, quote, secular, unquote, type of material, like writing for stuff that you did for, like, say, Roger Miller and Kenny Rogers and people like that. You still do anything like that these days?
The closest thing I do to secular work is when I do tours in China. We take what we do is we create music that was classic music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. First time I went to China, I took Harold Moore, who was the lead singer with the Drifters and the Platters, and put together a band, and we created all that music. And the Chinese love it.
Oh, great.
And then we take four or five different styles. We'll take bluegrass, we'll take some gospel music, and maybe a jazz artist, and we'll have a 3-hour show. And then we also add, of course, Christian music because it's part of our heritage. And so I am still performing quote secular music mm-hmm. as part of those performances. But it's a thinly veiled opportunity for us to present Christ through music, to people that normally would not hear it.
Wow. It fascinates me. The American songbook, you know, even the back half of the 20th century, you know, like, as you said, 60s, 70s, 80s, how, other countries, they eat it. I don't know. They really love it.
Well, what I learned about China when we went there, and I didn't know this before I went, honestly, was that their revolutionary years, ours were, of course, in the 1700s.
Sure.
Theirs was 1970.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes a little
Mao
sense.
When Mao died.
Right.
And Mao Zedong. And so the first time they were allowed to listen to music other than traditional Chinese music was in the 70s, and that's when, you know, the Western music, especially the American music, was so popular. So when you take the original artist that performed that music, it's like playing Yankee Doodle to them. You know what I mean? I mean, they're emotionally attached to it. I had no idea of that, but God knew. And so when we got there, we were welcomed with open arms, and we could go in, you know, in these huge venues. I mean, the first year, our smallest audience was 5,000 people. Our largest audience that year was at Independent University, 60,000 kids in an arena.
That's a big place.
I never played to those kind of crowds.
You got to speak up.
Well, no. Just let God open the doors. You know?
Yeah.
He has.
Yeah.
I guess the thing about it is I stumble into stuff, but God has a plan all along. And I'm just trying more and more every day to be more open to it. I remember when the first time I went to China, I had to do a television interview, national television interview at the airport. And I'd been up for 22 hours. I was wearing a jogging outfit. I did not want to talk to the press. And the first question they asked me was about our president, President Clinton, who had visited there recently, and mm-hmm. who I was not a big fan of, you know, because of his morals.
Right. And this is in China, right? China?
I'm sorry?
This was in China? I apologize. Sorry.
Yeah. This was the first time I went to China in 2004. And so here I was on the spot. I didn't know what to say. But the Holy Spirit, honestly, when I went back and listened to that interview, I realized the Holy Spirit took over and gave me words that were years beyond my wisdom. And I just recognized that that's not me, man. But the Holy Spirit had me there for a purpose.
That's a wondrous thing.
The Bible says that don't worry about what you say. He said, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit will give you words. And that's the first time I ever experienced it that I knew of. But it's really real. Thanks for including me in your program.
I appreciate that.
So
yeah, I appreciate it too. I hate to put you on the spot, but as a parting word, do you have anything for somebody else who is either maybe they're struggling or they're praying about their dreams and maybe they're not getting as far as they want to? Is there anything you might be able to offer as a word of encouragement?
Well, I would say it's a partnership. Do your part. If you're writing songs, create demos and put them in the hands of people that are recording. And then the other thing is that pray about it. Ask God for leadership and for partnership. And I think if you do those two things, if you do part, God does his part. And just make sure you've done yours. And the other thing is, I'd say, especially as a writer, you have to feed your mind. And just like your body, depending on what you eat, determines how healthy you are.
Yes.
If you're going to be a good writer, you need to eat good stuff mentally. And so those are the best advice I can give you. Is prepare your mind for success by filling it with good stuff instead of junk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the old, not to cheapen what you said, but garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly. Works for computers. It works for our brains.
It sure does. And it worked on me. And it worked. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just going to say the bottom line is partner with the Lord. You know, let him be part of it.
Oh, yeah. JD, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on my program. I do really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. Bless you, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bless you indeed. Yeah, it was a blessing to get to shake hands over the phone with Mr. J.D. Miller. You can learn more about him, of course, at www.jaydeemiller, and that spells jdmiller.com. And while we're typing in URLs into your computer, why don't you go, please, to strongrider.com, and you can hear past episodes of Strong Rider on the Radio with your host, Dean Olson. So until next week, I am Dean Olson, and I am saying to you, thank you so much for listening. Put your best pen forward and be a strong rider. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the Radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.